Welcome back to the Dribble Opposite with RBKD. A little jumping around from sports topic to sports topic, but it's a hump day edition of the Triple Option, which means it's an old school hip hop hump day. It's a way back rap Wednesdays or an old school rap Wednesdays, whatever. I mean, I get tongue twisted trying to say all those, but you get it, right? Old school hip hop jams on Wednesdays. My man KD loves it. You can reach him via Twitter at KevinDen01. You can reach me via Twitter at Rod Babers and BK. I mean, was.
You can't reach me via Twitter.
You cannot reach him via Twitter.
By the way, CB did reach out to us, and he wanted to let you know that welcome to the suspended Twitter club. He's been in that.
Yes, right.
You guys have something in common.
There we go.
Another thing in common.
I'm about to move to Washington.
But didn't CB have to change his entire like Twitter handle and everything?
He lost a lot of followers. That was a big deal.
Are you going to change? Can you be Brad? Now you can be Bradley. Now you can be Bradley.
Bradford Kellner.
Boom. Problem solved. You know what? Start a new Twitter account right now. Still screw Jack.
Yeah.
All right?
What's
start
your
a new Twitter
name?
Account.
What's your middle
Bradford,
name?
Peter? Bradford Kellner. Let's go. What's your middle name?
You guys trying to kill my career today,
it's like
man.
Bradley P.
What's
Kellner.
What's your middle name?
Bradley. Jewish people don't have
Jay Hosefa? What is
actually.
It?
Oh,
what
yeah, you've mentioned
you,
that
are
before.
Are you serious? This is a bit.
That's a bit. That's a total bit.
That's the second time he's gotten me, too, on that.
No, I knew it was a back of tail by the way he was looking. It's like,
no, he got me on that like a year or two ago.
I know Jewish people have middle names because there are some Jewish people who have middle names.
Yeah, like, but they're all in Hebrew, so we read them right to left, so you guys can't read them.
Also a bit. What's your middle name?
Not a bit.
That's not a
bit. Is that real?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, serious?
Yeah.
But then what? Say your middle name for us.
I can't.
Why?
You guys wouldn't understand it.
Just say
it. What's your middle name?
I'm not saying that, man.
Why not?
Oh, he's got a bad middle name.
No, it's not a bad middle name. I just...
This is like Seinfeld. Okay. Rod, we got to find out Cosmo.
No, it's right.
People know too much about me already.
Remember George?
Cosmo.
So I got the middle name, or I got the name. What?
Cosmo. That's great.
Yeah. Y'all are going to be so disappointed when you find out
Bradford.
What it is, too.
We're going to call you Bradford until you give us your middle name. Bradford.
Right. I don't know how long I'm going to last then.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Hey, it is Jonah Salk. Jonah Salk is his birthday, I believe, today. So shout out to the tribe.
Oh, yeah, the fourth Jonas brother, right?
No, the guy who invented the cure for polio.
Okay, and not quite as important as the Jonas brothers.
Yeah.
And he let,
kind
the, world,
of relative,
let the world have it for free.
For free.
Didn't want to copyright it. Didn't want to make money off it. He's like, the world deserves it. That is a great humanitarian.
Sad news, he got kicked out of the tribe for that.
I was about to say, you sure that guy is
like,
Jewish?
At least get 3%. Come on. 3%, 5%. Come on. all right. Let's get to some of the other sports topics, gentlemen. Well, of course, congratulations to my man Craig Way, longtime Dodgers fan, also the voice of the Longhorns. He's been a Dodgers fan for his entire life and actually was celebrating the Dodgers' their last World Series before this one, 1988. And today he echoed the sentiment of a lot of Dodgers fans out there when they got a chance to breathe, to relax, exhale for the first time in 30-plus years that they won a championship last night over the Rays. We didn't talk about this Justin Turner thing, but, I mean, we can get into it here. Obviously, the biggest game related storyline has to be Kevin Cash pulling Blake Snell, and we've gone over that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think Kevin Dunn did a great job in his one and done, kind of getting the macro of that, the analytics versus the gut decision making. Justin Turner, he was taken out of the game in the eighth inning,
mm-hmm.
seventh inning because of a positive COVID test. And after he was taken out of the game, he actually. I don't know how this happened, but he was able to reunite with his team and celebrate the World Series victory with them in the post game on the field. He was told by Major League Baseball and the COVID protocol and their COVID officers, I guess, that he could not be with the team and was not supposed to interact with them. They told him to isolate himself from the team and actually to try his best to social distance. He refused.
Even though he had already been in the dugout the whole time,
right? So, yeah, but I'm talking about after he had found out he had the positive test.
Well, we can get on baseball, the fact that this happened during a game, right? I mean, doesn't it kind of start there? In terms of how ridiculous that is. It's a very baseball move.
Because the first tests happened on Monday, right? The day before game 6. That was the test where the results came back inconclusive. Like that right there, if you get inconclusive results from one of the players, you've got to test him until you make damn sure that he tests negative. So they only did one test on Monday. Turner's results were inconclusive, so they tested him again on Tuesday because they test everybody every day. So that wasn't going to change. Everybody went through that protocol. And then they didn't find out the results of Tuesday's test until the seventh inning of the game. That cannot happen. Neither of those things can happen, right? If you've got an inconclusive test, you got to err on the side of caution and probably not play the guy until you find out, once again, that he does not have COVID-19. And then if you're testing everybody the day of the game, what the hell is the point of that if you're not going to get the results until the game's already started? Until the guy's already been in, hanging out with his teammates in the dugout, in the locker room, and of course been on the field interacting with the other players on the other team as well. That was a huge oversight by Major League Baseball. So yeah, MLB will say, oh, we told Justin Turner to leave, and it's not our fault he was out there celebrating with his team because we told the Dodgers, hey, you got to get him off the field. You got to get him away from the game, get him away from the team. But this is all Major League Baseball's fault for not having their testing protocols in order. Somehow, some way, on the last day of the regular season, they had this tremendous, tremendous oversight.
Is it possible that Major League Baseball just didn't want to stop the World Series? They knew.
Oh, that's very possible.
They knew about all this, and they knew the fallout and figured, listen, let's just get the game going.
You're talking about baseball?
I'm talking about Major League Baseball and the Dodgers.
The guy I know?
I'm talking about, yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah, like, it's
possibility. They figured, listen, we don't want to stop the World Series. We had the lowest rated World Series in the history of Major League Baseball. We've had this long streak of negative tests, right? After we overcame all the obstacles early on in the season, we're literally at the finish line, and we don't want to have to cancel Game 6 and then potentially have to postpone a Game 7. Let's just try to see if this can get wrapped up tonight. And maybe they bungled it to the point where, all right, you know what? We got to pull Turner at this point because...
Oh, they try to go late Friday afternoon news dump on this thing?
Well, just because I think members of the media would find out at one point when you got the results back. And they figured, listen, if we don't pull him in this game and they find out afterwards that he tested positive, they're going to find out we may have known beforehand. And then the
conspiracy
fit,
and
then the fit
really
is the shan. Right now, it's just incompetence. Incompetence is better than the full-on conspiracy theory where Major League Baseball really didn't even care.
Right.
They just wanted to get it done and get the season over with and move on rather than, oh, stop Game 6. All right, we're going to stop Game 6, guys. We're going to postpone the second half of game. We'll do the next two innings another day, and then we'll, you know what I mean? Like, that's the worst-case scenario, and they didn't want to do that. So instead of doing that, let's just pull him in, you know, seventh inning,
yeah,
and then we'll work it out from there, and everybody will keep playing. And you know that because the way that the whole entire situation went down after the game, where he was allowed to rejoin the team, the Dodgers didn't give a damn.
No.
Dodgers didn't care.
He'd already been in the dugout for six innings.
Nobody in the Dodgers organization cared. And honestly, Major League Baseball, they say they care. They didn't care that much. And we will see.
Manfred was on the field. He could have gone up to Turner and said, dude, you can't be here.
You can't be here, right? If he really cares, we'll see if he punishes them and how harsh they punish them in the post, obviously, in offseason, what they decide to do.
Manfred did go up to him and just said, hey, man, it's only a piece of metal.
Well played sir.
Well done, sir.
The thing is, and I don't think your theory is outlandish by any stretch, Rod B., but Major League Baseball could have played last night's game without Justin Turner. Like, if it was just Justin Turner who tested positive, then he can't go. Obviously, that's a story. People are talking about it, and he's a huge piece for the L.A. Dodgers, but sorry, man. Somehow, some way, you tested positive for COVID. We're not stopping the World Series for one player. We're going to play this game. You just can't be a part of it. Like, that's what they should have done.
They just should
have had the results earlier. I think that's what they would have done. I don't think they would have postponed.
But then you stop because of the tracing. The whole point is that this virus is...
Right, but if they had tested everybody that day and everybody had come back positive, like, you separate Turner... You should have separated him on Monday with the results were inconclusive.
You should have separated when he got the inconclusive test.
Then you do
exactly.
The test on Tuesday, and if Turner's the only positive one, then right now you're fine. Then you play the game.
But that's assuming that everything was above board and that they were totally competent, right? That they'd get the test results back before the game started, which they did not.
I don't know how that happened.
And now they got to answer, so was that the case the entire baseball season where y'all were testing guys the day of a game and then you don't get the test results back until in-game?
Yeah.
When that defeats the purpose of
all of those trade deadline moves. Now, we didn't yank the guy because he was traded. We yanked him because he had COVID, actually.
Yeah, like, I know you make a good point. Like, I don't know if... I think the Dodgers wanted Justin Turner to play. So if you just add to the conspiracy theory, they wanted him to play. They didn't really seem to give a damn about COVID after they had already won.
They had already won. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm sure they cared beforehand, but I know they also wanted Justin Turner to play.
Yeah.
So no, if they were informed about some stuff, it could have been like, listen, let's just pull him during the game. Let's try to give him six or seven innings in this thing at least. I'm just saying, adding to the conspiracy theory that they wanted him out there.
Okay,
and Major League Baseball didn't want to stop this World Series because of COVID, because that would have been the story, not the World Series.
Interesting. And that, look, we've seen with baseball, more than that could come out, and it wouldn't totally shock us. Let's get to Justin Turner right now, because he's turned, you know, I love how the cameras are all focused on him, and he had the mask on, then he's taking the picture, and he puts the mask down, and I'm just thinking, oh, man, this is going to turn into something completely different. We talked about just how good the Dodgers were, so if you want to get back to... Really, what was that? 325 on HornFM.com is when we kind of got into the game. My biggest question now is, how much crap is Justin Turner going to get? So I guess let's play through it a little bit. He's 35 years old. He's been with the Dodgers for a long time. And this obviously kind of was his apex, right? Mm. And this is going to be the biggest moment in his life, to go with probably the 2004 College World Series. Mm. But this is a little bit bigger, and he's been a part of that staple and a part of that core that they finally did it. Because he was already in the dugout for six innings, are we going to cut him a little bit of slack for going out there and taking the pictures that he's been dreaming of?
I think this only becomes a huge story if there's a massive outbreak within the L.A. Dodgers, right? Like if they fly back to Los Angeles. Yeah, and there's 10 players and a couple of kids and Dave Roberts, right? If there's a massive outbreak of COVID-19 due to that happening on the field after the game, then yes, that's a huge problem, and people are going to hold that against Justin Turner, and they're going to say, what are you doing? That was incredibly selfish. But if nothing happens, I think the story kind of goes away in a little bit. And it's tough for Justin Turner, right? I'm not advocating what he did. He shouldn't have been on the field, and if he was going to go on the field, you got to keep your mask on, right? You got to be a little bit smarter than that and prevent the spread if you actually do have COVID-19. But that's tough. I mean, that's the biggest moment in your life, and you just accomplished something. I mean, he's one of those core guys, right? I think there were 10 players on the Dodgers who had been there for all three World Series, right? The loss to Houston in 2017, the loss to Boston in 2018, and obviously their win last night. Like, this was a big moment for him. He wanted to celebrate with his guys, so it's tough to keep a guy away from that. But he probably should have been kept away.
Probably. I get it. What was the whole Chris Rock? Now, this was about OJ, so a little different. But he said, I'm not saying I agree. I'm just saying I understand.
Hey, Twitter world, this is yours truly.
What's up, Juice?
I'll say this, and, you know, I've long held the belief, and my brother's always a safety guy. Safety is about sacrifice. And, it's a bad look, obviously. When you're talking about safety and you're going to prioritize it, you might have to sacrifice that moment, right? You're seeing that with kids in high school can't go to proms and, football teams who have to change their schedules. I know friends who've had family in the hospital. They can't go to the hospital. You got to FaceTime with
family members that are dying and you can't be there.
I know. We have women who've gone into labor and they can't even have their family there with them, and they got to... They got to, go through child labor with a mask on.
What a break. You know what I mean? I wish my sister would have gone during COVID.
You know, I'm like, man, going through child labor is tough enough. She got to do it with a mask on for 6 hours?
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? There are lots of people. My woman just traveled up to go visit her mom and wore masks the whole time on the plane. It's probably a six-hour trip, round trip there to get there the whole way up to Idaho, and she wore a mask the whole time. And said there were people on the plane literally having panic attacks at times because, like, they were just claustrophobic, yeah, and they got the mask on, just feeling weird. So people are sacrificing all over the place because that's what safety is about. When you're talking about condoms, seat belts, when you're talking about making football safer, it's about sacrifice. And Justin Turner was not willing to sacrifice for safety. So I'm not going to judge him for that. I'm not going to indict the man for that because we're all human. But that's what he really didn't understand. Mm-hmm. About safety and sacrifice.
But the adults around him, too, you brought this up during a break, didn't seem to be flipping out.
No, they don't
like,
care.
They knew what was going on, and they knew how special the moment was.
Yeah,
much,
they didn't care.
Much better than prom.
Certain
how
things,
dare you?
Certain things are worth the risk to certain people. Certain people are saying, I'm going to go vote in person. I don't give a damn. That's just my right. I'm going to do it. Some people are deciding, you know what? I'm going to go to this campaign rally. It means that much to me. Some people decided, I'm going to go protest for equal rights, for justice for all, because it means that much to me. I'll take that risk to get COVID because it's worth the risk. Now, what we I think, have debated on is, you know, is that worth, is going to the concert worth the risk? Is going to the wedding in Mexico really worth the risk? For some people, it
that's
is.
That's low.
But no. For some people, it is. And for some people, it's not. And I think that's the different definitions of safety and risk that we're all dealing with right now.
It's well done.
Yeah.
No, I wasn't trying to take but to him, it was worth the risk.
Right.
And it turned out bad.
Yeah, it didn't work out too well.
It didn't work out too well.
It didn't work out. All right, Rod B., we're done with Major League Baseball, but still plenty of football left to be played this season. If you need a great beer to accompany your football watching, what are you going with?
Oh, man, I got to go with Bud Light. I know everybody's got their choice, but Bud Light is my choice, especially to fit those football festivities and to accompany all of those sporting occasions. But no matter what the occasion, maybe it's a sporting occasion, maybe you're just hanging out with friends and family, maybe you're relaxing solo, binge watching your favorite program, no matter what you're doing, you can always depend on Bud Light to turn those good times into great times and the rest of the times into the best of times. So you can always find a reason to break out the Bud Light, especially this weekend when you're watching your favorite football team. Maybe it's the Cowboys, maybe it's the Texans, maybe it's the Longhorns. Whatever it is, make sure you enjoy it with Bud Light. Bud Light is my choice and should be yours too all year round. Bud Light is America's beer of choice.
This is great timing. So someone alerted me that Max Muncy, apparently riffing off my joke earlier, well, he did this before. He look at this. He's got a Twitter post, or is that Instagram?
The Graham.
Yeah, it's the Graham, and it's him holding the trophy. And he said, "What a nice piece of metal."
That's awesome.
That is great.
Everybody hates Rob Manfred.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the baseball players
sucks.
I just love how they've got no problem taking shots at their commissioner.
No.
Remember Bellinger last year called him Manfred.
They do it on purpose too. I mean, yeah. they're
trolling.
But they're not even being subtle anymore. It's just straight up shots. Like, it's crazy.
You know the bit for Max Muncy?
What?
You know what song they play and what chant they sing at Dodger Stadium whenever he's walking up to bat?
What is it?
They play "Brass Monkey" by the Beastie Boys.
Oh, I've heard that. Yeah,
Max Muncy. That Monkey Muncy. Hey,
is that for real?
Yeah,
that is fantastic.
I love that.
It makes me like him actually. Mm-hmm.
Former Baylor Bear.
Yeah.
Saw him play. He was a catcher, and that's been a great turnaround. It also gets back to just how good they've been. Give Andrew Friedman Tribe shout out for what he's done. But a lot of these guys, Taylor, Muncy, baseball had given up on.
Yeah, I mean, they have a ton of money, which definitely helps, right? Having a high payroll, being able to pay for guys like Clayton Kershaw and Mookie Betts, there's no doubt. But they have done a pretty good job finding those diamonds in the rough, guys who everybody else gave up on, like you said, KD. And you need those dudes to win a World Series. So the Dodgers get it done for the first time since 1988, and the Major League Baseball season has come to an end. It's the triple option with RBKD. And my phone is blowing up, guys. People keep texting me, "What happened? You would have thought I lost a leg or something."
Because of Twitter?
It's because of the Twitter suspension.
Oh, yeah.
What happened? What'd you do, man?
I
just posted a picture of
me
in
okay?
a hospital gown. Yeah, what's going on? What'd you do?
I'm so concerned. I'm concerned too. I don't know what you did.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a lot of Brad Kellners out there. You notice that? There are other Brad Kellners in
really?
The universe? Yeah,
I've
but like not the Twitter handle, but like just the name. Like there's a Brad 8696 Kellner _ Brad, a Brad _ Kellner, and then a Kellner Brad.
Late to the party.
Dang.
I got the real one.
You do got the real
Brad
one.
Brad Kellner. That's all you need.
Hate us.
All right, it's the triple option with RBKD. We've got the BK Lounge coming up. You always say that you're going to do this, but you never do. And you should, because it might save your life. Up next.
4th and 5, the national championship on the line right here.
Oh, the band is out on the field.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
I don't believe what I just saw.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Chalmers for the tie.
Got it in 2 seconds.
Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
Oh, wow. In your life, have you seen anything like that?
You believe in miracles? Yes.
Now, it's time to step inside the BK Lounge. Here's your host.
Who the hell is
Brad Kellner?
Baby, if you give it to me, I'll give it to you. I know what you want. You know I got it, baby.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the BK Lounge. October 28th, 2020 edition of the Lounge. Alongside Kevin Dunn and Rod Babers, I'm BK Brad Kellner, and this edition of the BK Lounge is brought to you by Audio Visual Consultations. Give them a call, 255-8678, to get the home TV setup of your dreams. All right, guys, I teased it going into the break. You always say that you're going to do this, but you never do.
Ooh.
And you should, because it might save your life.
Hmm.
If you're like many people, you may have decided that you want to spend less time staring at your phone.
Oh, yes.
I hear people say that all the time. Yeah. Oh, I need to use my phone less. Or, oh, I'm really trying hard to stop looking at my phone. I'm guilty of that. But I don't know how many people actually follow through on that, myself included. But people say that all the time. They realize, yeah, staring at my phone for 5, 6, 7 hours a day is probably not the best bit in the world. And they're right. It's a good idea. An increasing body of evidence suggests that the time we spend on our smartphones is interfering with our sleep, our self-esteem, relationships, memory, attention spans, creativity, productivity, and problem-solving and decision-making skills.
Wow. Anything else there, doctor?
Yes, there is, as a matter of fact, because this story talks about something that's in addition to all of those things. We've known about that stuff for a while. But this is sort of a recent finding by scientists and another reason for us to rethink our relationships with our devices. By chronically raising levels of cortisol, which is the body's main stress hormone, our phones might also be threatening our health and shortening our lives. Until now, most discussions of phones' biochemical effects have been focused on dopamine, which is a brain chemical that helps us form habits and addictions. Mm-hmm. You know, like slot machines, smartphones and apps are explicitly designed to trigger dopamine's release with the goal of making our devices difficult to put down, right? They want you to be addicted. Keep playing their app. Keep checking this social media account. Keep doing all of this.
Favorites, all that.
Yeah, the manipulation of our dopamine system is why many experts believe we are developing behavioral addictions to our phones. But our phones' effects on cortisol are potentially even more alarming. Cortisol is our primary fight or flight hormone. It triggers physiological changes such as spikes in blood pressure, heart rate, and blood sugar that help us react and survive acute physical threats. These effects can be life-saving if you're especially in physical danger, like if you're being charged by a bull. Let's use that as an example. Our bodies release cortisol in response to that if you're being charged by a bull. But they also release cortisol in response to emotional stressors, where an increased heart rate isn't going to do much good. Like you check your phone, you find out you have an angry email from your boss, that releases cortisol, which is not good for your body. Once again, it can lead to spikes in blood pressure, heart rate, and blood sugar. Now, if they only happened occasionally, phone-induced cortisol spikes might not matter. But the average American, guys, spends 4 hours a day staring at their smartphone. And we all keep it within arm's reach nearly all the time, right? I mean, it's always close. There's a constant sense of obligation, which actually generates unintended personal stress, right? You always freak out. Where's my phone? I don't have it on me. That's some unnecessary stress that a lot of people put on themselves that they don't actually need.
Did I miss an email? You checked it 9 minutes ago.
Yeah.
If you did, you'll get to it.
And that sensation you have, like, oh my God, is my phone vibrating in my pocket? No, dude, your phone's not even in your pocket. No, it's actually not doing that.
Where is it?
Here's David Greenfield, or a quote from David Greenfield, who's professor of clinical psychiatry at the University of Connecticut. He said, quote, "Your cortisol levels are elevated when your phone is in sight or nearby, or when you hear it or even think that you hear it. It's a stress response, and it feels unpleasant, and the body's natural response is to want to check the phone to make the stress go away," end quote. So, you know, when you find your phone, like if you think you're missing it and it comes up, like that feels like a soothing thing, right? But that's only for the short term. It's only a good result in the short term. It actually probably makes things worse in the long term, because anytime you check your phone, there's a chance you're going to find something stressful waiting for you. Whether it's a bad email from your boss, you post a tweet or a picture on Facebook that doesn't get the type of response you're looking for.
You get suspended.
You get suspended like I did. You're playing Words with Friends and the person you're playing against uses some ridiculous word that goes for 124 points and you realize there's no way they actually know that word unless they're cheating. Whatever. Some type of stress which can cause another spike in cortisol. And it's just a continuous cycle where you're checking your phone, you think you're making your anxiety go away, but you're actually leading to increased levels of cortisol, which can cause problems. And a chronically elevated cortisol level has been tied to an increased risk of serious health issues, including depression, obesity, type 2 diabetes, fertility issues, high blood pressure, heart attack, dementia, and stroke. Every chronic disease that we know of is exacerbated by stress. And basically, our smartphones are contributing to the hacking of the human mind, and they're actually making things worse, which is not good. So there are potential long-term health consequences. And it's not only that, guys. There's also short-term issues as well that you get from checking your phone a bunch. Elevated cortisol levels impair the prefrontal cortex of the brain, which is critical for decision-making and rational thought. Like the prefrontal cortex, some doctor said it's the brain's Jiminy Cricket. It keeps us from doing stupid things.
Yeah. a lot of serial killers or stuff like that, they'll actually check the front cortex just to see if that's why they killed their mom or whatever.
And impairment of the prefrontal cortex decreases self-control. So it kind of goes to what you're talking about, right? And then when it's coupled with a powerful desire to allay our anxiety by checking our phone, that can lead us to do things that might be fatal, such as texting while driving, right? Checking your phone while you're driving. You think you need that stress, but because your prefrontal cortex has been affected by the cortisol spikes, you don't have the thought of, I should probably wait.
Yeah.
I shouldn't check my phone. This is a bad decision right now because I'm driving and something really, really serious could happen.
Quickly, Charles Whitman, when they did the autopsy on him, he had a massive tumor that had kind of taken over the prefrontal cortex, which is why he killed his wife and mom and everyone else.
Damn.
Yeah.
There you go.
Just want to throw a little local history
in there. That adds to it. You guys are obviously welcome to throw in anything like that. The effects of stress can be amplified even further if we are constantly worrying that something bad is about to happen, whether it's a physical attack or an infuriating comments on social media. And I mentioned the phantom vibration, right? People think they feel their phone vibrating in their pocket when their phone isn't even there. That's just an effect of stress, which is not good for the body and can lead to all sorts of health issues. And another thing that is mentioned in this article talking about cell phone usage and how bad it is, and I think everybody goes through this, right? I feel like the vast majority of people who own a smartphone, the last thing they do before they go to bed, what is it? It's check their phone.
Mm-hmm.
Check Twitter one more time, send a text, check the internet, whatever. I mean, hell, there are nights where I'm like in my bed for an hour and I'm checking my phone and the night just gets away from me. And also, what's the first thing you do in the morning?
Check it.
Check your phone.
You check your phone, right? And that's when you know you've met someone you love, when you talk to your significant other before you check your phone. I think that's the definition of love right there. But it's bad. I mean, people have talked about this for years, right? If we get less than 7 or 8 hours of sleep a night, that is also really, really bad for your long-term health. It's not good for your body, and it increases our risk of stress-related health conditions that I mentioned a little bit earlier. So another way where your phone can cause problems, you put all that stuff together, and the compulsive nature of us checking our phones, it might actually add up to much more than a waste of time, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, you're not wrong.
Good BK Lounge. We know, and this gives you the opportunity now to be able to take advantage of this without Twitter.
Yeah.
It's going to add to it a little bit, right?
Right. So there actually is, in this article, a lot of this comes from the New York Times. Some of this was other research that I've done on my own. But they actually mentioned ways to break the cycle, right? I'm telling you all this bad news, and you're like, well, crap. And, man, I feel like quitting using your smartphone is harder than quitting smoking cigarettes cold turkey.
Right.
Everybody is on their smartphone all the time. That's a tough thing to just give up on. But they do mention some ways that maybe you could limit the stress responses and try to reduce this anxiety-driven cycle that we're going through and reduce the cortisol levels. One thing they mention is turn off all notifications except for the ones you actually want to receive. Like, I actually do this. I've done this for years. I keep my phone on do not disturb mode, so it doesn't vibrate for a text. It doesn't vibrate for a tweet. Anytime I'm mentioned on Twitter, it doesn't vibrate for an email. The only time my phone goes off is when I'm getting a phone call. Like, that's it, because I feel like if my phone's ringing, if you're calling me, it's probably something important. But 99% of the time, it's a damn potential spam these days. So
all the time.
I'm thinking about canceling that anyways. But that's one thing you could potentially do, right? Just turn off all of those unnecessary notifications that you don't need. And the next, this is kind of a longer-term thing. Pay attention to how individual apps make you feel when you use them. Hmm. Like, which apps do you open up out of anxiety? which apps leave you feeling stressed, and then hide those apps in a folder off of your home screen, or maybe even delete those apps for a couple of days and see how you feel. And also, you can pay attention to how individual apps affect you physically as well. Like if you have physical sensations when you open up an app or when you close out of an app, then you can maybe alter the amount of time you use that app if you're starting to notice that you're stressed out or more anxious or more reliant on a certain type of app. They also mentioned doing a 24-hour digital Sabbath, which is what the Jews are supposed to do every Friday night to Saturday night. No technology. That can be surprisingly soothing. And we actually did that on the old midday program.
Yeah,
Trey Wags and me, we went 5 days, right, a full weekday's worth of shows without our smartphone. We just left them here in Christina's desk, and we didn't use it. It was actually, like, really soothing. I mean, don't get me wrong. I was excited when I got my phone back, but it felt pretty good to just go a couple of days without the smartphone. So maybe for a 24-hour period, if you realize you might not need your phone, that could be a good way. But unfortunately, it isn't easy to create these healthy boundaries with devices that are deliberately designed to discourage them. And reducing our stress levels, it could actually lengthen our lives and make our lives easier and potentially reduce some short and long-term health complications. So there you go.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man.
Yeah.
It's hard to do, though.
Hard to do.
It's addiction.
Yeah. And they set it up. They want you to be addicted, right, with all the apps and whatever. Like, they're designed to release that dopamine and trigger your addiction.
I had a tech buddy. Shout out to Tommy Fat out there. He told me that, like, 10 years ago. And he's in that world. He goes, oh, all these are set up algorithms, and they're set up to, like you said, at the end of the day, it kind of makes you feel bad. Like, the likes and the retweets and a lot of people, their self-confidence is built off of that.
Yeah.
Well, and no, that's really scary.
Well, and for teenagers, it's terrible, too.
Exactly.
Because
emotionally, you're still figuring it out.
They think so much of their self-worth is tied up in social media. And so, you know, not having enough likes or not having enough people respond to a
this person didn't follow me.
Yeah, I mean, they literally take it to the nth degree. And they extrapolate it to the meaning that they are disliked or that they don't have friends.
Devalues their own life.
It really is their self-esteem. So I know that we are affected. I think you just pointed out everybody's affected. I feel really bad for the young people because it's tougher for them, as you just pointed out, their brains being hacked and also being reprogrammed literally real time, and it's hard for them to be able to break away from it. They are literally tied to it, like they're born with it.
Yeah,
like in a matrix, man.
I do this a lot, actually. I mean, especially on a Sunday, like I'll just turn my phone off.
Oh yeah,
And then may check it late at night, and just to make sure that there's not any emergency. Yeah. Exactly,
it's
that
good idea, man.
But I think it's easier for us, Rod. You just kind of brought it up. We don't have kids, but also, We remember not having any of this and being very happy.
That's a great point.
And that's where it gets to younger people, where it's never been a part of their reality.
That's true.
Yeah. I say it all the time, right? Social media is a psychological experiment that we were all thrown into without our consent.
I love that.
Yeah.
And that's just what we're constantly dealing with. And we have no idea how it's going to affect us in the short term. And we have no idea where this thing ends, too, because it continues to progress. So there you go.
Okay.
Good luck.
Stuff,
there's some science research.
That's scary.
I do it so y'all don't have to, but use your phone less. It could help you live longer and live with less complications.
Have you watched The Social Dilemma on Netflix yet?
No, I need to.
You should watch it.
I've been told a million times. Honestly, there's no sports on tonight, except this NASCAR race.
That's true. Yeah, honestly,
do you have money on this?
I plead the fifth.
Okay. That's why it's on, Rod.
Yeah. But it just reinforces a lot of stuff that you just said, but it does it really well just like you did. So
yeah. That was depressing. I'm going to check Twitter.
It was depressing.
And
there
see you go. If I can't.
Yeah, we're about to go to break and I'll check our phones
boost
here.
That ego.
Unreal. All right. One segment to go. We'll tell you what's on tap and set you up. We'll set you up for the rest of the night here on The Horn.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash you?
Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really
man,
good.
That's good.
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Time to wrap it up and put it in the oven. We are done for the day. It's been a great show. Been fun bringing you the Triple Option. Hope you had fun listening to the Triple Option. Before we get out of here, time to let you know what's on tap. And no sports. World Series is done. NBA is done. No football on a Wednesday. Oh, there's some NASCAR. Gentlemen, NASCAR?
Yeah.
Okay.
Guys, I was at this race.
You what?
This race was scheduled for Sunday.
I thought it didn't happen.
Up at Texas Motor Speedway. And it got postponed due to weather. Got originally postponed to Monday. Then it got pushed to Tuesday.
Interesting.
And they're finally able to run it today. Wow. Up at Texas Motor Speedway. So, yeah, the weather up in the Metroplex, not that different from the weather we've been experiencing here in Central Texas. So, it makes sense.
What was that like? Good people watching?
Great people watching. I'm disappointed. I mean, the race was supposed to be 300-something laps, and it got called after about 40 laps, so we didn't stay very long. They had $4 beers, which is really, really good for a sporting event.
Yeah, that
is. That's the best you could get, so I'm a little disappointed. Probably for the best that I didn't spend a few extra bucks on beer, but at prices like that, I was crushed.
What kind of food? They got like chitlins and stuff like that?
Chitlins?
I don't
at
know.
A NASCAR race?
No, you don't need to dump that.
Chitterlings, I believe is how they're spelled, but chitlins.
Don't they call it chitlins?
Pig intestines.
Yeah. No, well, maybe. No, they had a large selection of food. I didn't eat anything there, but they actually had a ton of stuff, a ton of different shops, some like State Fair-inspired type items
I got
as well.
You.
Corn dogs?
Corn dogs, turkey legs.
That'd probably be a fun time.
I love State Fair. I love fair food. It's good.
It's a big deal for them, man. I mean, there's only a couple of races a year at all these NASCAR tracks, so they do it pretty big because there's usually, right in a non-pandemic year, I mean, there's tens of thousands of people there. So they want to make as much money as they can.
I heard NASCAR tailgating is awesome.
I have too.
That's what people tell me.
That's actually what you want to do.
Yeah.
If you're not into NASCAR.
Yeah, you just want to go there and tailgate.
Yeah, we didn't
get
to do that too much. We just like stayed in our car and drank, just the few of us I went with. That was the closest thing to tailgating we were able to do.
I think that's actually tailgating.
Yeah. That's probably how it started, right?
That's right, the original tailgate.
So guys,
some guys drinking at a girl.
It's going to be a weird night tonight because I'm going to miss baseball. It's gonna start tonight.
Yeah.
It's
going to
be a little itchy and scratchy show for me.
That's true. Yeah, got to find something else to entertain you, brother.
I will.
NASCAR. The food porn.
Food porn. Well, I know, but that hadn't been there either.
No,
you
food
know what?
Porn?
I'll just stay on my phone all night.
Don't go to that porn.
No, I won't. I won't do that. Will not do that. Hey, guess what we have coming up next, Rod?
What's that? Under the lights!
Under the lights!
That wasn't under the lights! Come on, wrong drop!
2-hour show, that's awesome. Rick and Jeff will have that coming up next. All your high school football news. And then you got Fight Night and then Sports Guys Talking Wrestling. Still a busy night here on the Horn. Thanks for listening, y'all. Stay warm. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Peace.